What's up, Noel Nation? I am Jesse, and this is Michael from Plant the Spear. We're here to talk about Florida State remaining undefeated at 8-0. We're going to talk about the ACC picture starting to clear up a little bit as we get later in the season, and the big day is tomorrow, the day we've been waiting on for the first 9 weeks of the season. It's the CFP poll that's getting ready to drop tomorrow, so we're going to find out the rankings that actually matter, because there's no more of this crazy AP poll talk. Coaches what matters poll. Is, yep, yes. It's the one that matters is coming out tomorrow. So we're going to preview all that for you guys. Michael, how are you?
I'm good, brother, man. 8-0, that's all I care about, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was a lot of treats and not a whole lot of tricks on Saturday as we get that's ready right. for the Halloween holiday tomorrow. So hopefully you guys are going to go out and, dress as some good characters for tomorrow. Maybe some Miami fans, because those are so, they're rarely ever seen. So like,
that's I feel true.
Like that's like so a ghost, a ghost or something like that, Bigfoot maybe, because that's probably seen more often than a Miami fan at a home game. But
yes.
We're going to jump right into this. First thing we're going to talk about, let's take a quick look back at this Wake Forest game. Obviously, yeah. Florida State gets a dominating win. And this is kind of what we talked about in the pregame show, where you're now facing the part of your schedule that's more that middle tier team. And you want to see Florida State come out and dominate those opponents like we did last year coming out of the bye week. Some of the teams that you should beat like that. There's a reason you're a 20-point favorite. And they go out and they dominate Wake Forest. Absolutely, just really dismantled them. Covered the spread. I mean, you outgained them by almost 300 yards. It was a really dominant performance on both sides of the ball for Florida State. You had a little bit of a slow third quarter, which is kind of against the ordinary for what this team has been known as a second half team. But overall, man, this is like, we know how treacherous that going up to Snuggie Hill can be. Sometimes you really just want to come out of there with a win. But at the same time, you went up there, you handled your business, and you blew out Wake Forest to snap that three-game streak. And it felt really good to finally down the Deacons. So give me some of your thoughts on this game.
Yeah, man, you're right. It was as I said in the preview, we exercised those demons, man. I don't know what it was. I was more nervous for that game than any game this season for LSU, for Clemson. Like, just because of what has happened the last couple of years with Wake Forest, I just wanted so desperately for Florida State to go up there and shut that crowd up, which actually turned out to be way more Florida State crowd than there was Wake Forest crowd. And it was great win. We took the hill back. Snuggie Hill is officially done and over with. Hopefully we never have to go back to that place ever again, because we'll be out of the ACC soon, please. It was great to see a dominating win. The defense was just tremendous. The offense, like you said, they had their that third quarter was kind of weird there and early in the game. They turned it on in the second quarter on that 24-0 run after Wake Forest scored that touchdown, which was actually, I believe that run was sparked by Deuce Spann and his, or as Kurt Fowler said, Deuce Spawn. It was sparked by Deuce Spann's, I think it was like a 40-yard kickoff return. I mean, it was just electric and just kind of lit up that offense. And, we talked about the officiating and, first quarter, like, it was like, oh man, they're actually gonna like call like a good game. And then sure enough, second, third quarter was like, are you just absolutely kidding me? The one thing that really frustrated me the most, Jesse, was what the officiating was, Jordan Travis, there's a clear horse collar on Jordan Travis. I mean, everybody sees it. The images on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. The guy has his hand like dug down his backside. They don't call it at all. They don't call the late hit on Jordan when he slid, right? But the moment we horse collar somebody, they throw like 50 flags. I mean, they caught every single horse collar we did. It's like, this is just asinine. Just another crappy call conference. It's just terrible. But glad we got out of there. We won. We're 8-0. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I think the horse collar was probably the most egregious because it was, right in display of everything. And then, of course, where Jordan slid and they landed on him. It's just the thing that frustrates me about those is, like, if you're going to call it for one or not call it for one, treat the other one fairly.
Correct.
Because it's like every time they miss that call on us, they immediately, like when they threw the running back down.
Yes.
And of course, that's an immediate flag. But you can fall on a guy who's giving himself up and sliding, and that's a penalty. So, like, it's just, you knew it was going to happen. And some of the penalties I get were warranted. Unfortunately, you had the one on Casey Roddick that brought back one of Jordan's best throws of the day. That was just an insane catch. Like that was a bonkers catch.
Yeah, by Portier. Yeah. And the thing was, if you go back and watch the tape on the game, that hold was like
weak.
Worse than weak.
It was almost like they saw the touchdown coming and was like, oh, no, we can't have this.
We can't have this right now.
But that's the unfortunate thing, too. Like, I know Florida State still handled their business and they still won big. But it's like it's almost every game where the point spread has been reduced to somewhat of a degree because of a, questionable call. And that was the same with Virginia Tech and things like that. And it's frustrating that you've kind of had to beat both. But, if you ever get a fairly called game, you're going to be at a decided advantage because you've played two teams every game this season.
Right. I saw. Yeah, exactly. You're playing against how many referees on the field? Like six or whatever, plus the 11 you're playing against already. So you're playing against 17 people. But I saw something on online that said that the referees were good for 14 points in that game. That's four. Mm. So it's a 50. That's a 55 point game. We probably score if not for the referees.
Yeah. Yep. And that touchdown being called back did hurt. But I will say, this is kind of how we expected things to go. I will say my score prediction was 41-14.
Yes,
so it was really close, within 2 points there. So I did a little self-scouting today, and it's been a pretty good year for the predictions. But overall, you just dominate them. Florida State put up 508 yards, 382 through the air, 126 on the ground, 7.7 yards per play, which is really, really good.
Yep.
Wake Forest only put up 210 yards, 82 through the air, 128 on the ground. Even though you gave up 128 on the ground, it's not for lack of trying of them running the ball. They only averaged 2.6 yards per carry and 3.2 yards per play overall. So when you look at just on a yards per play metric, you absolutely dominated this game. And I think the defense was really one of the stories in this one. We talked about that beforehand. We thought that really the one thing you wanted to see Florida State do in this game was dominate the line of scrimmage, and they did that. And early on when Florida State struggled a little bit, they kind of stalled out on some offense and whatnot. My thing I texted during the game was like, I'll be more concerned if they run it down on this defense, because I felt like that was really the overwhelming mismatch there. And the defense had a great day. You can tell they're starting to find their midseason form. And I know Wake Forest offense was pretty terrible. And I know a lot of the offenses, Syracuse stretching back to Virginia Tech and even Clemson's not the greatest offenses, but you're getting better week over week. And that's really what you want to see from your defense. And when you talk about the offense, again, over 500 yards of offense, 382 passing yards, and you were down three receivers.
Yep.
One of them who's your number two. And that's a big deal. And for them to still come out and do that, I think was very good to see. The offense, they had moments where, like we talked about, there were some moments where it was like, all right, come on, guys, get in sync, get it together. You saw some missed throws and things, but that's part of having a lot of receivers out. There were some miscommunications on some routes, but man, I think Jordan had some of his best throws that we've seen all season. He dropped a couple of them right in a bucket. And I think Jordan is now, he also ran the ball some too, which is nice to see. I really do think you're starting to see that late 2022 Jordan Travis, and he's really starting to come out, and this, it's really kind of taking this offense to a new level, because again, now you're at 14 games over 30 points and you put up 41 on Wake. So yeah, man, it was just a really dominant performance.
It was great. Jordan was, Jordan was incredible. There were several of those throws that they looked off, but really, I know that one that was almost a pick, Keon actually fell down. They'd been slipping. I'd seen on social media that the receivers had been slipping pregame. So that field was not very good. And so some of those throws that look like overthrows or bad throws were a result of a couple things. I think there were one inaccurate throw that Jordan made, but the Keon one was he slipped, but then a couple of them, the receivers, because a lot of those routes that they run, they're called option routes, where the receiver has the option to based on how the defense is playing him to either, break it in or out or post or corner, whatever. And Jordan has to read that as well too. And so there was a couple of things where Jordan saw one thing, they saw another thing. And so that's Mike Norvell explained that during his press conference today. And so you could see some of that, but overall, man, 22 for 35, 359 yards, three three tutties, you know, only got sacked once, and really that was a suspect thing. And then he ran the ball, seven carries for 46 yards and a touchdown, you know, a key touchdown to kind of get the whole thing started. He was tremendous. That throw, his best throw, which was a bona fide NFL throw, was that throw to Kyle Morlock. I think it was in the third quarter or something like that. Oh, my gosh. He just dropped that baby in. It was so beautiful. It was like, whoop, here you go.
Yeah, it's that's the thing about Jordan. Like, when he's on, he's on. And he can make some spectacular throws. And when you look at the last 2 weeks, Jordan Travis has accounted for 718 all-purpose yards and seven total touchdowns. So, you're starting to see that midseason form, Jordan, that you need to lead this offense. And again, I mean, like we talked about, the way this defense is playing now, if you can just keep scoring 30 points a game, I feel like this defense is going to be good enough to hold most of these offenses that you played, even that you may play. I mean, it depends. You held LSU, the number one offense in the country, to 24 points, which was 17, you know, real points before you got that last late garbage time score. So, you know, you feel good about Florida State because they're balanced on both sides of the ball and they're starting to get that traction on defense. So, speaking of that defense, this is their third consecutive week holding an opponent under 100 yards passing and under a 50% completion rate.
Man,
this is there's some crazy stats when you talk about this defense. No, I was going back and doing some looking on this. No quarterback has thrown for multiple touchdowns against FSU this season. Not one. Nobody has thrown more than one touchdown.
Wow.
They've allowed zero passing touchdowns in the last four games. And I saw a stat put out today that Florida State was the only team in college football not to give up a passing touchdown in the month of October.
Wow. So
this passing defense. Now, again, like we said, you got to admit that there's not been some great passing offenses, but you've also seen where Kyron Jones has lit some people up and Wake Forest has thrown the ball some good times. So, I mean, you are dominating the pass game. And I know people like to talk about the rush defense, but at the same time, in football, you kind of have to give or take. I mean, if everybody could take away the run and the pass, they would. You'd win the national championship every year. You'd be 2021 UGA. So sometimes you have to give a little to take a little. And right now, I mean, you figure with an offense that can score over 30 points a game, if you had to give up something, you know, you're going to score slower most of the time on the run, as long as you don't give up explosive runs. And right now, they're pretty much eliminated the pass game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you talk about the running game is it's so weird. I mean, I think Wake Forest averaged what? 2 What'd you say?
It was like 2 it wasn't much.
2.6. Okay. But that's 2.6 yards on 128. You take away that 51-yard run that I think it was Ellison that had it. And literally, if you go back and watch the tape, the linebacker's right there. If he slides over one more gap, that run goes for less than 5 yards, right? Yep. And so you take away that run, and that yard per carry goes down significantly. Here's the other thing people aren't talking about with Florida State. Florida State is ranked 14th in the nation in third down conversion defense. They're barely giving up 30%, it's basically 30.7% of third downs. 14, that is legit.
Yeah, and I actually had somebody in some comment on Facebook the other day. It was like, well, our third down defense has got to get better. And I was like, actually, it's actually pretty good.
It's to be top 25 third down defense.
I get it. Like, you probably dropped a couple of dollars in the swear jar during the Boston College game because it was like third and 18, third and 9, whatever. They could convert whatever they wanted. But since then, they have gotten so much better. And when you look at just the chaos they created in this game, 5 sacks, 10 tackles for loss, 6 PBUs, they got pressure, 64% of dropbacks. So, I mean, you just mentioned it. They held Wake to 21.4% on third downs.
Yep.
Man, I mean, they have just, like we said, they have just continued to get better. And I'm just really excited to have a defense that, like, you know, now you know that you can rely on it. And, man, I mean, when you look at what they've done since the Boston College game, they have really, really rebounded. And this is a team that I know everybody wanted to kind of give them crap, you know, after that game and how bad they did or whatever. But, you know, when you talk about since that BC game, since that little bit of scare, Clemson 31-24 in overtime, and then they just have went on a streak of just blowing teams out. And I looked it up in the last, since that BC game, they've outscored opponents 190-80 by an average score of 38-16. And they have, they're outgaining them by average of 445 yards to 297. four straight games allowing under 150 pass yards, three straight games holding teams under 300 yards of total offense, and four games with over 400 yards and at least 38 points. So
yeah,
since that BC game when everybody thought they were suspect, they right. have just been on a tear. They're and I know tear. The competition hasn't been the greatest, but again, people put way too much into that BC game.
Absolutely.
And Florida State, they're on a roll right now.
Well, and the thing is, like, if we're going to give – and this drives me nuts. If we're going to give teams like Georgia and Michigan and, partly Ohio State because they actually have two good wins. But if we're going to give teams like that their flowers for dominating teams they're supposed to dominate, let's give Florida State their flowers for dominating the teams they're supposed to dominate. Right. Every team, every year – top contender teams, they always have a game that you're like, oh my gosh, they could actually lose this game. Georgia's had that twice. I think last year they almost lost to Missouri. It was like 27-26 or something like that.
Yeah.
They went on to win a national title. Every team's going to have that. So for people to hold Boston College against Florida State, I just think you don't know college football. If you're going right. to, if that's going to be the barometer by which you judge Florida State, you know, I heard Pat Mahaffey, whatever his name is, on College Game Day on Saturday say, I don't think this Florida State team can go undefeated. If Riley Leonard was still in the game, that game might be different, and they should not have won that game at Boston College. Are you kidding me, dude?
Like, and then he picked Oklahoma. He ranked Oklahoma over us, and they lost to Kansas with a backup quarterback.
Exactly. Like, you don't understand college football if you're going to hold BC over Florida State. Florida State had a 31-10 lead in the fourth quarter of that game. 31-10. That game was over, right? And some flukiness happened. We lost our edge, as Mike Norvell said, and they got back in that game. And if it wasn't for a face mask, yes, they probably end up losing that game. But they did it. They survive. What do we say in college basketball? Survive and advance, right? That's the name of the game. And so dominant win this weekend. Proud of those boys for going up there and taking Snuggie Hill and shutting those demons up. Now let's move on.
Yeah, I think the BC game was a gut check for this team. And yes, sometimes like that's the type of game that makes you look in, you know, inside and you rally the troops and you come back out and they've been on a tear ever since. And
absolutely.
You know, now and it's funny too because I mean, they're still not very good because they barely dug one out against UConn, who's pretty terrible this year, but hey, BC sneakily like 4-3 or 5-3. Like they got a better record than Clemson right now. I mean, you're talking about they're 5-3 right now, and Clemson's 4-4. So like everybody who crapped on that BC win, like hey,
they
BC's
ain't bad.
On the come up. Like hey, they only need one more to be bowl eligible. But as we do that, before we wrap up the week, we got one more thing to do, and then we're going to talk about the ACC picture while we're on the subject. First thing we're going to do before we wrap up this week, the last thing we're going to say on it is we're going to give our prize picks.
Yes, let's go.
Player of the game. So if you guys want to put a little bit extra on the game, you can do daily fantasy with prize picks. So you don't have to play against anybody else. You just have to play against yourself. They give you a number. You guess more or less on your yardage, your totals, and things like that. And some of these, they look like some pretty juicy numbers. So get started with Prize Picks using code SPEAR, and you will get a 100% first deposit match up to $100. So get started with them today. And Michael, who are you going to go with for your Prize Picks player of the game? Because there's a lot to choose from, honestly.
There's so many. I mean, honorable mentions, obviously, Keon Coleman, the GOAT, you know, Keon County, Trey Benson, you know, all those guys, but I'm gonna have to go with JT Jordan Travis, Heisman Trophy contender, you know, 359 yards, three touchdowns, a couple runs for a touchdown. I mean, this was one of the more complete games this season I've seen of Jordan Travis. So he's my prize pick player of the game.
You know, we were talking about it earlier, and I was like, Jordan is a good choice. And I was like, I know I stole your guy last time, so I was like, let me give it to you this time. So I'm going to go with a prize picks player of the game by committee. I'm giving it to the defense.
Yes.
As a whole. You know, you could even put the Adam Fuller cherry on top of this one because they had a dominant performance. And I know Wake's offense has not been great, but they have really these last few games, this defense has been overwhelming. And in this game, it was a havoc creating, yes, shut down, smothering defense. So for me, I'm going to give it to the entire defense because I can't pick one. When you're talking about five sacks and all these tackles for loss and all these PBUs, I don't think you can give it to one specific player. So I'm giving it to the entire defense for my Prize Picks players of the game.
Of the game. And that's good because you said they had five sacks, but actually they had six sacks. But whoever was doing the bookkeeping or the whatever said Omar Graham's sack of Griffith was not a sack. And I went back and watched it. I'm like, the dude was clearly behind the line of scrimmage. Why is that not a sack? Yeah.
It was a clear sack. And while you're on the subject, I do think that you saw some good stuff from the young linebackers today. Blake Nicholson got in there as well. Yes. But as we talk about these ACC games, that's going to bring us to our next segment of the show because now we're late in the season. Like it is do or die time every week now.
Yep.
And the picture is becoming clear. Now, for Florida State, the picture is very clear. You win Saturday, and you are booking your ticket to Charlotte for the first time since 2014. And I'll tell you what, Michael, I moved to Charlotte in 2000, and I've told the story before, but I moved to Charlotte in September of 2014, and we made it that year, and we have not made it since. It has been a tough run of watching Clemson go every year, and just like half the reason I chose to move to Charlotte was because of the ACC championship game. I'm like, we'll be here at least every other year. So yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a long time. So like, I just, you know, you got two chances to get there. Obviously you don't want to lose either one, but you feel good about your chances on Saturday, even though you have to go up to Pitt, which could be a trap game against a really bad Pitt team. But if you win on Saturday, you have booked your ticket to Charlotte. And so it's huge, man, because, you know, we talked about in the beginning of the season where it was like, this is a team you want to reach the highest of goals. And and this is something, I love Jermaine Johnson. Like when he was at the sidelines of the Duke game, they talked about like, what are your goals for this team? And he's like, man, don't be afraid to put it out there. Don't be afraid to say we want to win a national championship. That's what we're after. But pretty much everybody said step number one was, man, you got to take the conference back this year because it feels like the ball is in your court. And if there is ever a time to do it, this is it. And you are one win away from booking your chance to get a ACC championship, which was really the number one goal for the season before you get into the playoff talk. So, man, how big is it for this program to make it to potentially have the opportunity to win on Saturday? I don't want to jinx anything and make it back to Charlotte. How big would that be for this program?
Absolutely. I mean, coming into the season, I had an 11-1 prediction. I thought we'd lose to Clemson, but I thought we'd get a rematch with them in the ACC title and win the game. Like I had this whole image in my mind that we would lose to them at Clemson. We would win out, we'd get to the ACC and we would win. And it'd be this glorious moment of like Florida State's back. We're kings of the ACC again. We might have an outside chance for the college football playoff, but whatever, we won the ACC, right? Okay. Yep. Well, I hope that doesn't happen now because we are undefeated. Right. We're 8-0. We're going to play Pitt this weekend. This is my number one goal. Now, obviously as a Florida State fan, every year I want to win a national championship, of course, but in the process of the climb, this has been my number one hope and goal for Florida State, was to get back to the ACC championship and win it, dominate it, claim the ACC. You do that, everything else is out there for you, especially if you go undefeated. Yep. You're going to be in the college football playoff. But you can't be undefeated unless you win the ACC championship. So that has to be the number one goal. Yeah, I am over the top thrill. We win this weekend. We're in it. And I'm going to try to figure out a way to get up to Charlotte, really.
Yeah, man. I mean, come on up. The weather's always terrible for that game, but I will gladly sit through it because, again, it's huge. I mean, it's been so long, and really you just want to put some hardware in the trophy case because it's been a long time since you've won anything like the conference, anything significant. And, you know, it would be kind of funny if you won this year that you went through the down period that you went through and you still came back and won it before Miami did. So, like, that would be funny, too. Now, as we talk about the picture, we know Florida State is in the driver's seat. They control their own destiny, which is a luxury, especially when you have two chances to get in. And one of them you feel really good about. The other one, obviously, it's going to be home test with Miami, but you feel good about that game, too. But you can lock things up. Now, when you talk about the other side of the aisle here, who's going to be on the other sideline? Man, this is like, you can take the divisions out of the ACC, but you can't take the Coastal out of the ACC.
No, you cannot.
This is some ACC Wheel of Destiny stuff here. This is This is just crazy. But we do have a little bit of clarity here. Now, you could things could go sideways fast because there's only a few more games left, but there's still a lot of football when you talk about this one could beat that one and that one could beat that one and they could eliminate them. There's a lot of crazy, you know, lines on the map that you could draw here, but it is getting clear. And this week is going to be a big one. Everybody's going to want to be tuned in to watch this game. Number 15, Louisville playing Virginia Tech at 3:30. It is in Louisville. Louisville's going to be your favorite to win there, but Virginia Tech has been on a tear lately, which it's crazy that they're even still in the picture.
Right. It's just wild.
Right. But when you look at these two, like the winner of this game, if they win out, that's who you're going to play. So that's what is so significant about this game. Virginia Tech, after this Louisville game, they play at BC, home versus NC State, and at UVA. Now, NC State, again, they're struggling this year, but they just beat Clemson. So playing at NC, you know, it could be tough there, but they do get them at home, which is, you know, Virginia Tech's pretty good at home this year. Now, when you look at Louisville, they have Virginia at home. They should win that one. They do play at Miami. That's going to be an interesting game. And then, of course, it's not an ACC contest, but they end the season with Kentucky at home. So, man, it's just the winner of this one moves into the other driver's seat. They just have to win out. But it looks like you're kind of getting close there to who you might get to play. And I'm not, again, I don't want to say who you're going to play because we still got to win. And
we still got
to
get in.
I will knock on all the wood.
Yeah,
because I get superstitious about that. But it looks like you kind of got an idea of how things are going to shape up now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are only three teams that control their destiny: Florida State, Louisville, and Virginia Tech. Those are only three teams that, if you win out, you are in. Right? Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Duke, Miami, Boston College, NC State. They're technically, theoretically still in the hunt, but they need some help, right? They all need a little mashup somewhere to help. Clemson, Pitt, Virginia, and Wake Forest and Syracuse, they're eliminated. They're out. They can't go. Now, what's interesting is you said something about Louisville playing Virginia. They should win that game. Virginia, in the last three games, they're 2-1.
They've been throwing the side of some people.
Exactly. And if it wasn't for whatever that mistake they made against Miami, they'd be 3-0 right now, right, in the last three games. So they're coming on. I wouldn't put it past them to potentially upset Louisville. But this is really going to – I believe it's going to come down to Virginia Tech and Louisville at the end of the day, because Duke and North Carolina, they'll eliminate one themselves. Georgia Tech still has to play at Virginia, at Clemson, Syracuse. You know, I think it's really going to come down to Louisville and Virginia Tech. And what would be interesting is this. This is what's interesting. I just thought about this. Is that in the very first ACC championship game, it was Virginia Tech versus Florida State, right? No one expected Florida State to be there. We got there and we beat them. We upset them. How like, circle of destiny would it be if Florida State plays Virginia Tech again, and then we announce that we're leaving.
This is the last ACC game we ever play in. It would be crazy, man. And I'll be honest, like, I love that matchup with Virginia Tech. I think I would probably rather play them, but I think you would have Louisville would be, you know, depending on if they win out or not, they would probably be better for your strength of schedule. But at the same time, with Oklahoma losing to Kansas, and we're going to touch on that in a second, you have now essentially, as long as you win out and go undefeated, you shouldn't have to worry about the Big 12 anymore. So maybe strength of schedule doesn't even really matter anymore. We'll find out a lot of that tomorrow when the CFP rankings come out, and we're going to talk about that next. But yeah, man, it's interesting. And is not Georgia Tech the craziest team?
It's like, just wild.
I saw a thing the other day, how crazy it is. There's something like, I think they're averaging the same amount of points per game as they're allowing, as they're scoring. They've won on only even weeks. Both of their ranked wins have been against the number 17 team in the country. It's like the numbers are super weird on that team. And they do play Georgia the last week of the season on an even week. So maybe they have another upset in them. Who knows? I highly doubt that. But, you know, UNC kind of craps the bed again. And then another week losing to Georgia Tech.
Can we just listen? Mac Brown, former Florida State player, you know, like
it's been a great run. It's
been a great one. But, dude, come on, man. Every year, you can just count on it. Every year. Yep. App State, Georgia Tech. Who'd they lose to? But
Florida State in 2020. Florida State.
Exactly. Like, the worst Florida State team ever.
Right. And they were number five when we beat them. So
that's
like,
right. That's
yeah,
right.
They were number five. And, man, it's just, like you said, it's a Mac Brown special. He's good for one or two of them a year. And, you know, I mean, you got Tez Walker back, and I know he got hit, so hopefully he's okay. I know he took a really hard hit there. But, you know, when you
prayers
talk about
up for the band,
right. I mean, what they're doing with that amount of talent is crazy. And while we talk about a couple of the other games from around the country before we get into the CFP talk, Miami, another scare here. They went to overtime, two overtime wins in a row. They, like you said, UVA is kind of embracing that spoiler mentality. They have done well in their last three games, but you know, when you find yourself in a dogfight with a 2-6 team, that kind of makes you feel a little better when you look at what they've done recently. Right. And, you know, now that Clemson win, which that goes for us too, doesn't necessarily look that great anymore.
Right.
But I will say one thing about Clemson, and they did lose again this Saturday. We know that they lost to NC State. They're 4-4. Things are tough right now. Now this may fall apart this week. So take this with a grain of salt, because they do get Notre Dame at home this week. But as bad as Clemson has been, Florida State is still the only team to beat them in Death Valley this year.
Correct.
Every game they've lost has been on the road. So winning at Death Valley, we know, as bad as Clemson is a little bit of a different story. So we'll see how that Notre Dame game goes this weekend. But, you know, Florida State at least can say that they beat them in Death Valley, not on the road where they haven't done well.
Correct.
But, man, what do you make of that Miami game going to overtime with UVA?
Well, I mean, so I think I said this in the pre-show to you. It's like Miami's defense is legit. Like they have literally, I believe they have one of the best defensive lines in the country. I don't think you can deny the talent of what they have there. I just don't understand what they're trying to do on offense. It makes literally no sense whatsoever. It really doesn't. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. Tyler Van Dyke, something is wrong.
Yep.
I'm saying this out loud, and I feel like, oh no, I want to pull this back in because I want him to play.
Yeah,
just as bad.
You don't want
to
jinx
Florida
it.
State. Yeah. But something's wrong with him. I mean, the man's thrown, he threw two interceptions in that game. He was off. He was missing receivers. I mean, he was just, you know, not making the right check sometimes. But I'll say this. Here's what I'll say. This goes to show, recruits, if you're watching this right now, that Cristal Ball is an incredible recruiter. He will sell you. He will sell his grandma to you, but he's a terrible coach over and over again. This is what proves that. He got saved by the skin of his teeth again. So, I mean, you know, I say that and then watch they play the best game of their lives against us, but.
Yeah, and they do. Now, it'll be interesting to see, too. They do have NC State this weekend, so that'll be an interesting one there, I believe. Yeah, at NC State. And, you know, this is something that we talked about this year, too. I know NC State's kind of having a down year. I know it was big for them to beat Clemson, but this was something going into this year where it's like, okay, well, now you don't get the benefit of playing in the Coastal. They don't have to go to NC State at nighttime, which can be a tough place to play.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes as well. You know, I know there was some back and forth on Twitter about how should you cheer for Miami so we can get a 7:30 kick. We're never cheering for Miami. I hope that they get beat by 50. If we have
that'd
to
be
play,
lovely.
Right? Like if we have to play at 8 o'clock in the morning on Cartoon Network because it's Miami loss, I don't care. Let them lose.
Yep.
And then some other interesting ones from around the country. Notre Dame beat the brakes off of Pitt, 58-7. And you know, then Narduzzi came out and basically called out all of his players, said y'all suck, and things are not going very well. So it's going to be interesting. Now, we talked about this pre-show. His quote was taken out of context, but it already made its way through the locker room. There was a lot of their top players that had already retweeted it, like, what is this all about?
Yep.
So this is going to be an interesting game when you talk about coming up Saturday at Pitt, and we're going to have a full Pitt preview, you guys, so we're just going to briefly touch on this subject. But this feels like one of those moments where Pitt either hangs it up because they're pissed off at Narduzzi, or they use this moment and they rally together. And that's kind of what makes you nervous about this game, you know, because they did step up and they did, you know, they've won a couple, they beat Louisville. So
they beat Louisville.
It's in there somewhere. It's in there. But, you know, this could be, it could be a really bad time to say something like that. Cause if your locker room is in shambles when Florida State comes to town, you know, you might take another 50 point beating.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's kind of like what I told you in the pre-show. It's like, we both agree. It was taken out of context, the majority. But at the end of the day, you basically said that you thought you replaced, you thought you had some good players that you replaced with, but you don't.
Yep.
There's really very few ways to take that, especially if you're a player. Basically, what you heard is we suck and he wished he had better players, right?
Right.
And so, you know, Narduzzi came out in his press conference today and said, you know, I squashed it immediately. I knew it was wrong. And I talked to some of the players on the plane. I went and talked to we had a team meeting, all that stuff, and we're all good. So, okay, we'll take you for your word. Because Pat Narduzzi, we both like him. We think he's a heck of a defensive-minded coach, at least.
Right.
And, he's only played Florida State twice, back in 2013 and 2020. And they whooped us good at Doak Campbell in 2020, but that was a terrible team. So he's a good coach, but when you're 2-6 and you're already struggling and you come out and say that, that's probably not helpful. So yeah, I agree with you. It'll either you know, promise note him out, or it'll galvanize him, and Florida State's gonna have to make sure we're on our A game. You know, not that I think we need our A game to beat them, but make sure that we're on our A game, because if they come out inspired, you know, they can make that a game.
Right. And there's only so much you can walk back comments right. like that. I mean, it's kind of one of them where, like, you can say you didn't mean it like that, but, you know, it's like if you're in court or something and it's like, yeah, I killed the guy. And it's like, no, jury, you didn't hear that. Like,
strike that from the record.
Exactly. Like, okay, I didn't hear it. I just, you know, like, there's only so much you can walk those comments back. So I think, like, you know, if you get, say, down a few points and the mood on the sideline ain't great or something like that, and Narduzzi comes and crawls down your throat, it may be like a screw that guy type of moment. Right. So right. It's going to be interesting. And whatever it does, hopefully it's not a rally to the troops. I'm glad it happened the week before we play, because, man, I'm trying to get to Charlotte. I'm trying to watch this ACC championship game. It's been a long time coming since I've been able to go to an FSU game 45 minutes from my house. So please go handle your business on Saturday. Now, there are some interesting games coming up this week. A big one for Florida State to keep their eye on, Florida State fans. LSU plays at Bama. Now, this is going to be big for your strength of schedule. Really, it doesn't so much matter in the grand scheme of things. But, you know, again, if they can go in there and they can beat Alabama, not only is Alabama kind of a sneaky outside dark horse for making the playoffs, like, leave it to Nick Saban. He's going to find a way. You know, he's going to find a way to crawl back in this thing. But if LSU can go out there and beat Alabama, then that looks really good for your strength of schedule for what LSU can do there. You get Washington at USC. Washington had a really big win over Oregon and then has looked like hot garbage pretty much every
time. Garbage.
Like, every game is just you know,
they don't play defense.
Right, it's tough. And then you're talking about USC, who struggled this year but has enough offense that maybe they could knock them off.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be one to watch, because Washington is one of those teams that's still in the playoff picture. You got Mizzou at Georgia. You know, I don't know how good Mizzou really is, and they have to play at UGA. But like you talked about earlier, they kept it close a few years ago. I think it was 26-22. It was like a four-point game.
Yep.
They are ranked in this one. So, you know, they still don't have Brock Bowers. Now, I know they just beat the pants off Florida, which was fun to watch. And so, like,
I was going to say, we're not going to bring that game up. Dog walked Florida.
Yeah, Florida had nothing in that game. I mean, they scored a little bit late to tighten it up, but it was that game was over before it started. So
Florida got the first touchdown, and I saw all these Florida fans on social media, like, going crazy and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that lasted like 10 seconds.
Right, exactly. Like, hey, good. Thanks for coming. Hope you enjoyed the first quarter, because now it's out of it. Yeah, that was fun to watch. And so, you know, Florida, they're one of them teams that, like, they win a game and you're like, okay, well, all right. Yep. And then they struggle against Charlotte and they struggle. Yep. So it's like, going to the Swamp's never an easy atmosphere to play in. And Georgia, of course, didn't have to deal with that because they had that neutral site game. But at the same time, it just, when you see that, it makes you feel good that they did that to Florida without Brock Bowers. You feel as good about Florida State, probably as Georgia feels about their team right now.
Yep.
And then, you know, some other ones, you talk about Miami at NC State. We mentioned that one. Virginia Tech at Louisville. That's important for the ACC picture. Notre Dame at Clemson really doesn't mean anything. I mean, Notre Dame is kind of in the playoff picture on the outside looking in. Yeah. But I'm just interested to see how Clemson does at home, because, like I said, this is, man, first off, Clemson, they're gonna fight for bowl eligibility.
You
still have UNC, which UNC is going to show up.
Right.
You still got Notre Dame, and then you got South Carolina, who's terrible at the end of the year, but I think they have to go. They lost in Death Valley last year. That's what snapped the streak, so they got to go to Columbia this year. Man, I mean, South Carolina's terrible, but if they could pull an upset, like, could you imagine if Clemson missed a bowl game? Oh,
that
like,
would be wild. That'd be wild.
First off, they're gonna be in the Tax Slayer Bowl regardless, so it's gonna be funny to watch. Yes. But like, man, like, it's rough.
I mean, here's in my head, Florida State has three like main rivalries, right? Miami being probably top, Gators, and then Clemson. But this is not Miami. This is not Florida. There's nothing in my life that would cause me, maybe except like for Miami to win, my kid would live. Maybe. Right. But I don't know about that. Even that would be suspect.
You can have more kids.
I can have more
kids. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, take some medical stuff. But yeah. But Clemson, this is the one time I say root for them. Here's why.
Yeah.
Because they beat Notre Dame at home. That makes our win look better because they're undefeated at home. Makes our win look better there. So as much as we want them to crumble that program, we want Dabo to go out and go somewhere else. We do want them to win this game. This would be important for us. Yeah. Like we'd love for them to win out because it just makes our schedule look better in the eyes of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee.
Yeah, and I do think when you talk about Clemson, a lot of people don't consider them a rival, but to me, I do from a importance of that game standpoint. Yes. Like it may not be a hated rival. We may not be fighting we might not be throwing hands on the field like we do with Miami and Florida and in the stands and on the field or wherever wherever we can throw hands, like you can catch these hands. But I think it's like with that one, there's just so much on the line with that game that it is a rival because you have been the two heavyweights of this conference for such a long time. And, you know, it's just funny how like everybody kind of kicked FSU when it's down, when they were down. And something that I always said was like, it was impressive that Clemson did what they did for as long as they did because they had a nice little run there.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, I always told people, the Clemson fans that I live around, because obviously I live in Charlotte, so I'm surrounded by orange and white, but it's like, man, it's so much easier to get to the top than it is to stay at the top. And they fell fast. I mean, they fell off quick. And, you know, there is no guarantee that you're going to be able to pick yourself up. And I saw a good follow, a Clemson guy on Twitter that's a good follow. He was asking the other day, like, has there ever been a case where a coach has been at the top, fell off, and revived things at the same program?
Oh,
and
no.
Really, Brian Kelly at Notre Dame was about the only answer. They started really good. And then, you know, he got like, he kind of got some flack for being like a psycho coach back when he used to like yell at everybody and everything. And then he reinvented himself. They made the playoffs and got smoked a few times. But other than that, like that's really it. And you just kind of put all your eggs in your basket getting this new coordinator, Garrett Riley. So like you kind of start to wonder, man, like are they ever going to be able to get the magic back at Clemson?
Yeah, I mean, you're right because, and even that has a caveat with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame because, yes, they took a dip, but it wasn't like they were not going to bowl games. They weren't winning games. Right. They were still like an 8-4 team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, Notre Dame fans weren't happy with that. But, I mean, look at Urban Meyer, right? So, you know, they won back or two national championships. He won at Florida. They go through this dip, and he can't get them back, and he quits because of heart attack, right? He goes to Ohio State and they go on probation. They win a national title, but he left on top of that. I mean, you look at Bobby. I mean, Bobby had, you know, loved Bobby Bowden. When Florida State started taking the dip in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, as we call the lost decade, you know, he brought Jimbo in. They had like that 1-9-4 season with Christian Ponder, and we beat Wisconsin in the Capital One Bowl where there. But outside of that, I mean, just couldn't. I mean, Joe Paterno, like you don't see coaches who've had a long stay that let the program slip and then get it back. I mean, now you're looking at Les Miles is another case, right? Les Miles goes to LSU, wins a national title, program slips, just boom. Ed Orgeron, you know, you're looking at Nick Saban right now and you're like, are they slipping?
I mean, are they going to be able to get it back? Yeah.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's interesting too. Like you just wonder how many more years is he going to keep chasing? Right. I mean, now if I'm saving the money he's gotten at his age, I'm going to live at my lake house.
I ain't firing him. Right.
Right. Like I'm calling it quits. If I'm saving, I'm going to enjoy my money. But I mean, yeah, that's an interesting point because this was something I looked at before. Cause it was like Florida State, they fell. It was kind of a gradual fall. You know, we won a couple Orange Bowls and then things went off a cliff. But like you talk about Auburn after Cam Newton left, went, I think, 2-12 one year. Yeah. And then you had Florida after 08, I think it was 09 or 2010 or something like that, where they went 4-8, lost to Georgia Southern. Yeah. Like you've seen a lot of teams that have been at the top and taken a sharp fall. And that looks like what's going to be at Clemson now. So it'll be interesting going forward. Yep. You know, if he's not willing to open up and use the portal, Clemson's going to be in trouble because you're going to start to have people who don't want to be a part of that anymore. Correct. You know, you put up with Dabo's antics when you can go out and win a national championship. And if you can't, then, you know, people might start jumping ship and then you could lose some of your depth there. But This is not a Clemson podcast. It's just interesting to talk about your opponents here and to see how some of the things are going. Because Florida State, like we talked about, they're in a very pivotal position to kind of take back things right now. I mean, your 2024 class is doing really well. So that's something to watch too. But now that we talk about the national picture, we talk about all this, what does all this go into? The most important rankings come out tomorrow. Absolutely. And so we are going to preview these rankings, talk about a little bit of what we think is going to happen here. And it's going to be interesting, Michael, because we know
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Go ahead.
Can we first just take a moment to celebrate that the college football playoff selection show actually matters to us this year?
I know, man. It's like
first show, right? Like the first year, however many years ago, we were all about it and we were upset every week because they were dissing Florida State. And then after that year, I've not watched one college football show since.
We were going to be in it every single year since then. It was like, oh, we're rolling. We're going to be in this every year. And then it's like, we can DVR over that. Like, you know, we don't even want to watch that. It's just nice to be in the national conversation. It is nice to be back. You know, if I love nothing more than people talking smack, like, oh, Florida State deserves to be number four. It's like, okay, well, you know what? At least we're not number we're not number 40. Like we're back in the conversation and that's really what you want. And so I think, you know, the AP poll we know takes a lot into account from what happened the previous years. And it's hard to ignore things like that when you talk about a team like Georgia. But I think when you talk about it now, I think with the Oklahoma loss, you've seen the Big 12, they're going to need some help now. They're going to need somebody to lose. The door is not closed because you still have, and this is why I like where Florida State sits right now. You know, we talked about this earlier when you talk about the production and stuff like that. Florida State kind of has a reverse situation from everybody else. Now, of course, playing at the Swamp is never easy, and Miami can pose a challenge in a rivalry game, but you got a lot of your tough games over early, whereas when you start looking at some of these teams coming up, their schedule that they got, and we'll talk about that as we go through each team here, they got some tough challenges coming up. So Florida State kind of has the best path to making it in there, at least in a regular season. But, you know, you talk about where – some of these teams, obviously Ohio State, Michigan, someone's going to have to play there. And so someone could open the door for a team like Washington if they went out and go undefeated. But you're starting to lose more undefeateds. And Oklahoma was the most recent one to go down. So you feel like that opened up an extra door for you where as long as you go undefeated, maybe you don't have to worry about the log jam at the top. You really only have to let the one loss teams battle that out. If Florida State finishes undefeated and say, for instance, Georgia wins out, say Michigan wins out, say Florida State wins out, and then you have a bunch of one-loss teams right behind them, maybe even Washington undefeated, you're in. You're good.
You're in. Yep.
So it's good. There's still a lot to play out as far as these playoff rankings go and the teams at the top. But so far, I think you like where you're at.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, so I don't know what your top four. I did an exercise today where I was like, okay, if I was on the committee, what would I submit? So I'm going to work backwards from 8 to 1, okay? And you tell me what you think of these. All right, at 8, Bama, right? You have great, you have a good win. You beat Tennessee at home, but you got blown out to Texas at home, right? So number 7, Texas, right? The big win, obviously, against Bama, but you lost to Oklahoma, who lost to Kansas.
Right.
And your quarterback's been out. So you got some of that, but you're there. Number 6, Oregon, right? Honestly, Oregon should be in the top four if, you know, they punted the ball on fourth down.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, like when you look at the metrics and you look at some of the things that we'll talk about in a little bit, to me, you just can't put them ahead of Washington because of the head-to-head, but I still think they're a better team, especially when you look at the two directions that they have went since that game.
I absolutely agree with you, Jesse.
I think if you put them on a neutral field this Saturday, I think Oregon
wins.
Beats them by multiple scores.
Yes, I 100. Thank you. I 100% agree with you. What makes it hard is the fact that they have the head-to-head, and so you have to respect the head-to-head, right? Okay. Number 5, Michigan. Now, Michigan has looked dominant I'm going to say this so everybody can hear me. Michigan has looked dominant. Let me just read you their scores. East Carolina, 30-3. UNLV, 35-7. Bowling Green, 31-6. Rutgers, 31-7. Nebraska, 45-7. Minnesota, 52-10. Indiana, 52-7. Michigan State, 49-0. They've been dominant against nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
Yep.
And so if you, you know, so I have them at five. Number four, Washington. Now, they have their best win is against Oregon. They've played nobody else. They struggled the last three games. They almost got beat at Stanford. If they're, if Stanford's star wide receiver doesn't get hurt, they probably end up winning that game. They, I think it was 15-7 against Arizona State.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, it was like they didn't score an offensive touchdown in that game. They struggled with Arizona, almost lost there. So that's four. Number three, Georgia. Because Georgia, like Michigan, hasn't played anybody. But I give Georgia the heads up because at least the nobodies they've played have been in the SEC, right?
Right.
They beat Kentucky. They beat Florida. Those are two best wins in the whole thing. That's it. Number two, Florida State. We beat LSU. We beat Clemson at Clemson. We beat a ranked Duke at home. Like, those are the three best resume wins in the country right now. And then number one, Ohio State. And now Ohio State has a terrible offense, right? Their offense is so suspect. If you put Florida State and Ohio State on a neutral field, they would not scare me. I think we would score and score at will against that. And our defense would actually dominate. But it's Ohio State. They beat Notre Dame. They also beat, who am I blanking on? Penn State. They beat Penn State. So they have top 10 wins. They have two top 10 wins. And so that's why I would put them at number one right now.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Like when I went through and I looked at some metrics, I took some notes on this before and I was like, dang, oh man, I'm going to have to put Ohio State at number one, aren't I?
Yeah.
So just going through some of the teams and then I'll give you my order here because I have them in order of the AP poll, just kind of the way it worked for note taking purposes. So you look at UGA number one in advanced metrics, they're ranked fourth. They have one ranked win versus number 20, which was Kentucky, 51-13, blew them out. Kentucky's no longer ranked. They probably shouldn't have been ranked in the first place.
Correct.
Now, I don't know how they come up with this, but this is straight from PFF on their game previews. They have the strength of schedule that you've played so far, not the strength of schedule, because Georgia's schedule is about to get a lot harder. Right now, they played the 102nd hardest schedule. Now, on the season, it's 37th because they have three ranked games in a row coming up. So, again, like we talked about, they have not played anybody tough. They've had one-score game. When you look at their offense in advanced metrics, it's ranked six, defense is six. So they're evenly good. And then when you talk about their remaining schedule, now they're going to get a chance to prove it. They play home versus Mizzou, number 14, home versus number 11, Ole Miss, at number 19, Tennessee, and then at Georgia Tech. So to me right now, when you talk about Georgia, I think you do have to, and I hate doing this because I made a lot of credit. I made a long post or whatever about this earlier, an argument that I don't think you should base things on what happened last year. But you know Georgia's talented. You know they're a two-time defending national championship. They deserve to be in the top four. But if you base it on 2023 alone, I just don't think that they have the record. You know, you struggled against a terrible South Carolina team. 2-6, you were down by double digits in that game. You won by 10 points, which almost every other team that's played South Carolina has beat them by over 10 points.
Right.
You beat a 4-4 Auburn by 7. You beat a 2-7 Vandy by 17. And oh, by the way, Wake beat Vandy by 16. So your best win is against a Kentucky team that's not even ranked anymore. So to me, yeah, the Florida win was good too, but Florida kind of stinks. So that's where Georgia's at. When you talk about Michigan, they are first in the advanced metrics. Again, but you're talking about zero ranked wins. Strength of schedule played so far was 35th. They played, you know, some Big Ten teams. They just have been good teams. They haven't played like the FCS teams or lower level teams like Georgia played a lot of. They've not had a single one score game in advanced metrics. Their offense is third, defense is second. And their remaining schedule is home versus Purdue, who's 2-6, at number 9 Penn State, at Maryland, who's 5-3, and just lost to Northwestern. So that game, probably not very good. Home versus number 3 Ohio State. Now, here's the interesting thing about Michigan. How do you factor in the cheating? And I know, like, everybody wants to talk about the cheating. It's legal. That's fine. That's perfectly fine. Like, when you talk about the first game that they had since teams told, you know, since the conference told them, hey, look out, they're cheating, right, was Michigan State, who right, probably needs to start cheating because they are they are freaking awful. They blew them out. But when it's been interesting to watch this, man, this is like an episode of Law and Order, like some CSI or something, watching this come out. But the one team that knew about the signal stealing and switched it up was TCU last year in the playoffs, and they beat Michigan and then went on to get beat by 59 points against Georgia. So when you talk about, yeah, they're going to beat Purdue, you, like, Purdue could mail you their playbook and you would still, or it's whatever,
still dominate.
You'd still dominate them. But when you talk about at Penn State and home versus Ohio State, and they know that you're cheating, so you don't have that advantage anymore.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting when you talk about Michigan. So I'm going to put Michigan at, I would probably put Michigan around number four, and I'll give you my one through four, but I would probably put Michigan around number four just because they've been so dominant, even though they haven't really played anybody tough, but you just, I got to drop them a few spots because of the cheating. We'll see how they do going forward. So, you know, keep that in mind. Now, when you talk about Ohio State, they're second in the advanced rankings. They have two ranked wins, which, like you mentioned, are very good. You're talking about a 17-14 win against number 9 Notre Dame, who is still ranked.
Right.
Number 7 Penn State, they beat 20-12, still ranked. So you have two wins against teams who are still ranked. That's ranked. The thing is, like, if you beat a team like Kentucky, like Georgia did, and they probably shouldn't have been ranked at the time, now they're not ranked anymore.
Right.
How much credit do you get for that?
Right.
So strength of schedule played is 55th. Not a lot of hard opponents outside of those two ranked teams. They've had 2 one-score games. Offense comes in at 13th. Defense comes in at 3rd. So that is, you know, defense wins championships. That's what they say. Now, their remaining schedule is at Rutgers, who is, hey, they're sneaky good at 6-2, even though Michigan wiped the mat with them. Then they get Michigan State at home, Minnesota at home, and at Michigan. So I think they have a really good chance to obviously be undefeated going into that Michigan game. I think Ohio State's your number one, too, just based on the wins that they've had. Yep. And then you talk about Florida State. Florida State is 6th in the advanced rankings, which these rankings are dumb anyway, so who cares? I'm just kidding. Ranked wins, they have 2. We know they blew out number 5 LSU at the time, who is still ranked. That was on a neutral field. Then they beat Duke by 18 points, covered the spread. They were 16 at the time. They're not ranked anymore. Your strength of schedule played is 10th, so you have one of the hardest strength of schedules of any of the teams you've played. Keep in mind, Florida State has not played an FCS team.
Correct.
They have played the most Power 5 teams, I think, of like any team in the country. They have the most Power 5 wins.
Preach.
Your offense comes in at 9th. Your defense comes in at 13th. Your remaining schedule, as we know, at Pitt, you feel good about that one. Home versus Miami, home versus North Alabama, and then at Florida, you feel good about them. So, to me, that's your top four right there. I have Ohio State 1. I have Florida State 2. I would put
Michigan 4. So,
yeah, let me go Georgia 3, Michigan 4. I think Georgia could be 4. I think Michigan could be 3 just because Michigan has done so much against that crappy schedule. Right. Like, Georgia's had some scares against a bad schedule. Right. But, again, they were cheating, so it's right. Like, how do you take that into account? And then, obviously, you talk about your first two out is Washington and Oregon. Now, what I do find interesting about Washington, they are 8th in the advanced metrics. They do have one ranked win against Oregon. We know that. But their offense is 5th. Their defense is 31st. So they are the first team that you see is really unbalanced when you talk about the offensive defense rankings. Now, their remaining schedule is at number 24, USC. Home is number 18, Utah, at number 16, Oregon State, then home versus Washington State. So that's the thing. Like, when we talked about earlier, Florida State has probably the easiest path into the playoffs. Washington's got a tough schedule coming up.
Man, they do. They really do. I mean, you know, that USC game, USC has a hot garbage defense. I don't know why Alex Grinch is still employed there. I don't know. He's got a bag of secret stuff that would probably destroy Lincoln Riley. That's why he hasn't been fired yet. But, you know, but USC has a dynamic offense. And so I imagine that's going to be a barn burner of a game. That's at USC. And I used to live in California, used to go to USC games. That stadium, when a big time opponent rolls in, it can be pretty lit. So Utah, that's going to be, you know, it's at home and they have their backup QB and Oregon just wiped the floor with them.
Yep.
But, you know, Kyle Whittingham, sometimes he just be pulling out surprises. And yep. Oregon State lost this weekend to Arizona. So, you know, that game is going to be tricky as well, too. What's suspect about this? Oh, and let's not forget this. If Washington wins out and Oregon wins out.
That was my next point is like, I put Oregon at 5.5. I don't even put them all the way down at 6 because I know the fact that Oregon has a really good chance of avenging that loss. And I feel like that's the unique situation about mm-hmm. the Pac-12 right now is the fact that, yeah, you kind of got to give the slight edge to Washington because they do have the head-to-head.
Correct.
But I think if you ask 10 people, 9 of them are probably going to tell you that Oregon's a better team, yep. and they're going to get that opportunity as long as they don't wet the bed in some of these games because they're third in advanced rankings. They have 2 ranked wins against Colorado who, you know, okay. We've seen that the shine is off of the Buffalo now. The Buffalo died and it went extinct. They beat Utah, but I mean, when you look at their rank wins, I mean, of course, Colorado shouldn't have been ranked in the first place, but they beat them bad by 40 points. Then they blew out Utah 35-6. So their strength of schedule is pretty weak at 94th. So that's the one drawback I have with them. Offense is second, defense is 16th, but they play Cal at home. Cal is sneaky scaring people. They almost got USC this weekend. Yep,
that's right. Then they play one point. Home.
Yeah, and look at all the new ACC members kind of stepping up here. SMU had a big win too, I believe. And then they play home versus USC at Arizona State and home versus Oregon State. So, again, there's some opportunities in there where both of those teams could lose. But I think that's why Oregon is still very much in the playoff picture. I think Oregon's one of the best teams in the country.
Oh, I do.
You watch them play.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I think the committee will weigh the fact that 36-33 loss to Washington was on the road. They had the game won, you know, if he makes a better decision instead of going for it there, but punting the ball, like there's a likelihood that they would have won that game. And I mean, just, yeah. Okay. Going back, I just have to get this point off. At that point where they should have punted the ball, Oregon had a 96.6% win probability.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? If he had punted the ball, he had a 96.6% win probability. And so, so I think the committee will probably factor that in a little bit. I don't think there'll be because I do know, or I assume that they'll take the head-to-head over Washington. Washington over them, so they'll be behind Washington in that. But you know, here's the thing to me, Jesse, with this: the way we understand this playoff selection committee is that they're supposed to rank not based on last year; they're supposed to look at the body of work this season, right? So if they hold true to that standard, which we know they're not. We know Georgia's going to be number one.
At least, I don't think they're going to punish Michigan like they should.
Correct. That's my whole point. Like, if they were to go off what the standard they said they were going to judge off of, then Georgia should be at best third or fourth, and Michigan should not be in the top four, right?
Right. Right.
But we know they're not. They're going to put Georgia number one likely and Michigan probably number two, or vice versa. They might actually punish Georgia by sliding them down to one, to two, I mean.
Right. I think you're going to follow the AP poll, at least initially. And I don't know that I really agree with it. Because I think when you talk about 2023 as a whole, I think Ohio State and Florida State stand out as the two best teams with the best resumes. Now, of course, some things have fallen apart for Florida State with Clemson not doing so well. But again, like, and this is just the beginning. Keep that in mind. Like, as long as you start in the top four and you win out, you're probably not going to get booted out. But you still have, like, if LSU goes out and beats Alabama this week, that's going to look really good for you going forward. And really, when you talk about that, you have the two teams after that, number 7 and number 8. You're looking at Texas, and I, you know, it doesn't feel right to say it, but, like, Alabama's still in there. They're number 8 in the AP poll, and they just quietly keep winning. So, like, it could be, you know, and when you talk about Alabama, if they beat Say they beat LSU Saturday, then they are in the driver's seat for the West because they beat Ole Miss, whereas LSU lost. So they could get a shot at Georgia in the SEC championship. So that could be something there. Now, I think the question with that is, does Alabama jump high enough to make it into the playoffs? And that's going to be difficult, but not impossible. Yeah. When you talk about Oregon and Washington could still play, you know, if Alabama goes out as a one-loss team and beats Georgia, and then say you have Washington beats Oregon again, so now they're a two-loss team.
Yeah.
You know, or one of them slips up along the way. The door is open for them, certainly. Any one-loss team, I feel like the door is open. But that those are kind of my two other teams. But I do think the good thing, like we talked about before, is now that you've had the Big 12 not eliminated themselves, but there's no longer any undefeateds.
Yeah.
And then you talk about the Big 10, their two top teams still have to play.
Yep.
So one of those is going to lose. So I think it's just, it really comes down to, it doesn't matter where Florida State starts in the top four, as long as you're in the top four, because you pretty much have the easiest path to the champ. I mean, of course, conference championship game, if you have to play Louisville, who say they go undefeated, they might be top 10 at the time.
It could,
who knows, depending on what happens above them. So it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah.
But when you look at the regular season, I like where Florida State sits. As long as they start in the top four, you just, I don't see them punishing Florida State for the BC game. I think they know that there were some weird things like we talked about there, but they just beat the pants off everybody the last 4 weeks. So I think that's kind of a race that how you performed against middling competition. And to me, I think Florida State's probably going to be fourth.
Yeah.
I think they deserve to be third, possibly, you know, really, I would put them in a second.
I put them at two as well. Yeah. The hard part would be, and would send Twitter on fire and probably go up to Bristol to boycott ESPN is if they come in outside the top four, because that's the hard part. If Florida State were to come in outside the top four, now you're working against, you know, because what'll happen, you know what'll happen. This happened already. This has been proven. Michigan, Ohio State will, let's say they go undefeated. They play each other. One of them loses, but then they'll get they can't play in the Big Ten championship because they're on the same division. Right. So one of them will win the Big Ten championship, supposedly. And then the committee will be like, but that game was so close. Like, they're so good. We got to have them in.
Right. What if it was like 24-23 or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so that's why it's, you know, if people are wondering why we're saying you just got to be in this first ranking. That's why. If you're in the top four in this first ranking and you went out, you're good to go. They're not moving you down. Right. But if you're not in this top four, now you're working against the, I'm not going to call them bad names yet because they haven't said anything, but you're working against the committee's mind of thinking you're not already a top four team. So even if you went out, if something, nothing catastrophic happens with whatever the top four is, man, you're on the outside looking in. And let me just tell you what, I mean, it hasn't been since the BCS era that an undefeated Power Five school got left out of the championship game. Thank goodness we don't have the BCS polls anymore. But to leave an undefeated Power Five school outside of the playoff, oh, Lord. I can't even imagine, especially if it's Florida State, a perennial blue blood of college football. I just don't see it happening.
I think you bring up a good point, too. If you do get left out, say for some kind of crazy reason, and I don't think that's going to be the case, but if you do get left out, the same thing I just talked about you having the easiest path, now becomes your worst enemy because now you don't have
another.
Like, chances are Miami, they're not going to be ranked by the time you play. Florida's not going to be ranked. The only hope you have, you really kind of outside are cheering for Louisville to make the ACC championship as in winning out as a one-loss team because you kind of want that extra feather in your cap. Not that I think you're going to need it, but it wouldn't be bad to have another top 15 win to add in that conference championship week. Because again, like we talked about on the previous show where you saw the Big 12 not have that championship game, essentially eliminated them. So we know how big of a resume builder that can be when you get that conference championship team. And now you're not going to be, well, we don't know this yet, but I would say you're not going to be playing some crappy Coastal team, but you know, it could still be, it could be a 3-loss Virginia Tech or whatever. I think you like where you sit. I just think you want to be in that initial four, like we talked about. I think that it doesn't really matter where you're at because there's still some movement that's going to happen ahead of you. You know, like we said, when you talk about Georgia, that's a tough schedule going forward. You got Mizzou, Ole Miss, Tennessee, all ranked. But that's the other thing. You talk about Georgia. If they go undefeated and they beat, again, say, Alabama in the SEC championship, now you can put them at one. Yep. Like if you want to say that, because we talked a lot about that schedule and how terrible it was, but it ended up being the back end of it was
right.
Yeah. You know, and then you talk about Michigan. They would have, if they go undefeated, a win against on the road at Penn State and against Ohio State. And then if Ohio State goes undefeated, you would have that win against Michigan. But they're another team that's pretty much already played their hardest part of their schedule. When you talk about Rutgers, Michigan State, and Minnesota, other than Michigan. So they have kind of that one opportunity there to kind of put that feather in their cap to have a third ranked win. But I don't know that they can afford to lose to one of those bad teams either.
Right.
And then because if you lose to Michigan, then chances are you're out. But I really do think as we get ready to kind of wrap things up here, I think the wild card here is going to be Michigan and seeing how good they can be without stealing signs. Again, right. I just don't want to make too much of it, but it's a huge deal. Like if you right. don't say you didn't even know the play, but you could guarantee me as a defensive coordinator that it's either a pass or a run. That's yep. it. You knew nothing else. It completely changes the way you change the game and you approach each play. And so I think it's just how much is the committee going to weigh into that? But could they slip up now that people know? And that's what's going to be interesting to watch. Yeah. Could, you know, keep in mind, Georgia is not going to have Brock Bowers for probably at least two, maybe three of those ranked games. Yeah. Now, they get two of them at home, and they only have to go at Tennessee, who's probably the worst of the three ranked teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just – man, it's funny because when you look at it right now, like we're going into week 10. It feels like football season is almost over already.
Oh, God, so sad.
It's really just beginning. Like
I know. Now,
Florida State, we kind of got ours out of the way early. Now, of course, you got to go win every game right. in the rest of your schedule. You got two right. rivalry games. So, there's plenty of big games on our schedule, too. But, man, it really feels like when you talk about the ACC championship
yep.
with Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Florida State Pitt could essentially be almost decided this weekend. You got some playoff games that yep. are going to be happening real soon. There's a lot of football, a lot of absolutely. Exciting football left to be played in a short amount of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing about this college football playoff ranking, I'm reminded of this thing. In 2021, this goes to your Bama-Georgia thing. In 2021, Georgia was undefeated. Bama had one loss. Bama played Georgia in the SEC title game and beat them. And the committee put both Alabama and Georgia in that playoff game. And then, of course, we got the epic, you know, finish or whatever. I could see a scenario again. This is wild. I can see a scenario again where, you know, Alabama wins this weekend. Let's say they beat LSU at home. Because if they beat LSU at home, there's not a you're in the driver's seat. You're in because they could lose to Auburn, but they have the tiebreaker over Ole Miss. So they're in. If they beat LSU this weekend, they're in the SEC title game. I could legit see a scenario where Alabama wins out, goes to the SEC title game, beats Georgia, and now what is the playoff committee going to do?
Right. Like, yeah. And that's a good point because, you know, we talked about Washington and Oregon's record and they both still have, you have two ranked teams for Oregon and three ranked teams for Washington. So I do think I will say with Washington real quick, I will say that they have a strong rest of the schedule. When you talk about it, they are able to go win at USC home versus Utah and at Oregon State. That's going to look really good.
Right.
But I think when you've seen those last few struggle games, the one against Arizona State, they barely beat Oregon and all these things. I'm not so much worried about them jumping Florida State. I think they have a few Boston colleges. They have a few pimples on their face. So I think that's going to be something to watch, but you know, again, I that's why I think you want that strong championship game because if they go undefeated into the Pac-12 championship and Oregon goes undefeated in there and then say they beat Oregon again, that could be another top five win. I mean, I like that Florida State feels like you control your own destiny.
Yes, but absolutely. I'd agree.
You never know
you just never know, especially with ESPN. You know, we get the reveal the same time as you guys. Are you kidding me? You pay for this. You got it weeks ago. But yeah, Florida State. Like getting back to who we're about. Florida State, right? If you're in the top four ranking this weekend or tomorrow, then great. That is, I don't care if you're four, even though I'll be selfish a little mad, but just as long as you're in the top four, once you're in the top four, you got to beat Pitt. You know what I'm going to say, Jesse. A win's a win's a win. Beat Pitt. Beat the game in front of you. Keep winning. It will take care of itself if you're in the top four of this weekend, of tomorrow.
Yep. And I will say, when you talk about like Pitt, I don't think you necessarily have to go up there and just slay them 58-7 like Notre Dame did. But I just don't think when they're that bad, I don't think you want to have a close game. You don't want to have another BC situation. You don't want to give them, because we know they're going to find a way to try and get Florida State out of there. Like, they're going to search, you know, they're going to find a needle in a haystack. Game control was invented to keep Florida State out in 2014.
Game control. Yes.
Right. So like, I don't think you want to give them any reason to kind of, you know, blemish your record. So you do want to go handle your business like you're supposed to, but you know, again, I think Florida State feel really good about where they're at. And, you know, again, like we said, it all starts with Saturday.
Yep.
Every game, one game at a time, every game is important. And if you win, you know, you're locking in the playoffs. That's going to handle itself as the season progresses. But you have an opportunity to lock in that trip to Charlotte on Saturday. That's the big one, man. That is the number one goal. So I'm looking forward to this Pitt game. We're going to be back with a preview later this week for that game to get you guys ready. So hopefully they can go up there, they can avoid the sleepy kind of road game and the one that everybody had circled as the trap game at the beginning of the season. This is the one that you were nervous about. You should go up there and win. I think they're like a 27.5-point favorite or something like that to open up. So you should handle your business, but we're going to be back with a preview for that one. I just thought, you know, the day before the rankings come out, depending on whenever you watch this, it just kind of be a fun subject to talk about, because we don't know what's going to happen. We think we got a good idea of what the committee will do. You just never know. And I know I'll be holding my breath whenever they do. You know, it's funny. It was like I was talking about trying to do a show for the rankings or whatnot. And it's like, well, you know, it starts at 7 and it ends at 8, but we really don't need to pay attention until 7:45.
Correct.
Because
they'll draw it out.
Oh, my gosh. They drag this out. It's like, just come on. So you can turn it on about 7:30 and save yourself a half hour of nothingness. So, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be glued to the TV tomorrow to see how things go. But like you said, I think more than anything at the end of the day, it's just fun to be back in the picture. Yeah. Back to seeing your logo in the mix of the top four or possibly top six or wherever they end up falling. So, yeah, man, it's really an exciting time to know that Florida State is kind of hitting their stride in the midseason. Yep. They got a very manageable path going forward.
Yes,
and you can lock up an ACC championship trip on Saturday and get one step closer to getting to the playoffs.
That's the number one focus, Florida State. Don't worry about, like Keon said, you know, the NBA is on. Go watch that. Don't even care about this ranking, right?
Yep.
You know, what you want to focus on is going up. You are a 21.5-point favorite this weekend. Go up there, handle business, you know, get a dominating win. It doesn't have to be 58-7, but somewhere close to that. And you know what? Lock up that ACC championship. Lock up the berth to the ACC championship game. That was your first goal this season. Let's lock that up. Then we'll worry about the next game in front of us.
Yep. And Norvell played down the rankings too. It's like, we don't play to have a number to buy our name. That's for us to talk about. That's what we do.
Yes.
So we let them focus on some other things. But yeah, guys, that's just it. That's going to wrap it up here. We just kind of had some ground we wanted to cover talking about the ACC and the college football playoff. And this is the most exciting time of the year. Like, we're getting to November when it's make or break season, and you got the games, every game is really important, and there's a lot of important ones coming up. So we're going to be keeping an eye on that. Check back with us for the preview of that Pitt game. And then as soon as we get done with that, Michael, I'm not a look ahead guy. I know you're not a look ahead guy. Ooh, boy, that Miami went around the corner. We're not on the Pitt preview yet. So
Miami who?
Right, like it's, we're not looking ahead because we haven't done the Pitt preview yet. So I'm just gonna say, man, I'm excited about it. There's a FSU basketball game in town on Friday night. I'll be there if you guys happen to show up. I just got a parking pass for Lot 14, like we had in the Southern Miss game. If you guys are gonna be in Tallahassee, we don't know what time the game is yet. Hopefully, I'm hoping for a night game. Swing by and see us. So I'm just super excited about that going forward. But man, I'm so ready for Saturday. Please, Florida State, handle your business and get back to Charlotte. Because, man, it's been – I drive past Bank of America Stadium probably 6-8 times a week, and I always just keep looking at it like, someday, we're going to be back. I just know it. So like, this is the closest
I'm coming home.
Right. Like, I'll see you soon. I've been to so many games there that have not been Florida State involved recently. And it's like, I need to get Florida State back in the ACC championship. So
yeah,
man, it's going to be fun, and you can clinch it on Saturday. So
yes, sir.
We will keep our eyes out for that one. But again, guys, check back later this week for a Pitt preview as we get ready to look at Florida State traveling north to take on the Panthers and hopefully handle some business in that one. So that's with that being said, guys, we will wrap it up here. As always, thank you for watching, and go Noles.